Now time for the crime report. With our man Joe Jacklin. Joe, of course, in his day, part of the NYPD for 20 plus years, cold case squad adjunct professor over at John Jay College. Former commanding officer of that Bronx cold case squad. Criminal investigative function. He's an author as well, a best-selling author. The Guide for New Investigators, third edition. A highly decorated member in his day of the NYPD, including the very impressive Department Medal of Valor, the aforementioned Joseph Jacklin. Ladies and gentlemen, and we say a very good morning to a hurting Sarge. And Joe, I feel for you having a back injury myself way back, but man, you did some damage, my friend.
Yeah, two bulging discs, L3, 4, and 5. I got this pinched nerve that just runs down the whole left leg all the way down to my toes. And we're going to try this series of shots. I got an epidural shot this Thursday. Hopefully it can relieve some pain because, like I said, it only hurts when I'm standing, walking, or sitting, or laying down. So anything can help. It's been brutal 4 weeks, Jake.
Sounds like what I had, that sciatic nerve, Joe. When that's activated, look, you can't even walk, folks. You really can't. That's a tough one. Yeah, it's a tough one. Listen, you're going to get through this. The pain, though, is excruciating. I feel for you. And we thank you, by the way, for coming to the airwaves today. Joe, full week. You know, I got to lead off with a lawmaker right here in Suffolk County. He's a doctor, no less. William Spencer, trading pills. Allegedly for drugs, pills for sex, rather, excuse me. Listen, this was a sting operation to the max. You had everybody involved with this thing. Spencer was cooked, and it really kind of grabbed headlines, still does. He stepped down from a couple of posts. But all in all, this was an embarrassing one for the county. And certainly for him, he's a well-respected doctor, a lawmaker. You know what makes this tough? Let's not forget a minister as well, Joe. That what makes it tough, he's on a panel regarding opiates and heroin, the epidemic and everything else, what the island has seen and everything else, leading a panel. And it's just, it's a tough story the whole week here.
Yeah, no, when I the story broke, I was kind of like shocked. I had heard about him one other time. I hadn't been following exactly what he was doing, but since the story is broken, it's just a real shame what happened here. I mean, he's been on this opioid task force, been trying to combat the problems in Suffolk County, and here he is like living a double life where he's trading these pills for sex and taking advantage of people who have this disease. It's just unbelievable. You talk about getting people when they're down, and this is the lowest of low. Somebody who can't help themselves, who's having a problem, and then you have this guy stepping in and just basically forcing people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. He's lucky that there's not other charges coming. There could be rape charges coming. There could be a whole host of things coming his way as this case unfolds. And you know what? There could be multiple victims. I'm just waiting to hear, you know, people start coming out of the woodwork and saying that this doctor has done it to them, too. So it's going to get interesting as this goes forward.
These guys who live double lives, I tell you, we've had them on the show many a time. You know, a very well-respected lawmaker, 18th District. You know, he's reelected every time he's up. You know, he's just one of those guys, you know, you never hear about. Huntington Station doctor, well-respected, ear, nose, and throat. You know, and a minister as well. Can you imagine this? It's just a tough one. Tough story. You never know. You just never know, Joe. This guy who's married, three kids, you know, but it's just tough. You know, it's a tough one. But, you know, like you said, there could be some other charges involved. Last thing Suffolk County needed is this. I'll tell you that much. Just all that they're going, everybody's going through. But, boy, I'll tell you, tough one. We'll see what happens. Let's get into attorney John Ray. And now he is asking for those coveted phone calls that Shannon Gilbert made to police, Joe. He wants them out there. John Ray getting out there. Yes, you know, listen, he's been a very, a staunch guy regarding this. We know we've had him on all the time. He represents this estate and everything else. The tapes, he says, are shocking. And he wants them to be heard. He wants them out to the public there. So that's an interesting one. We'll see what happens there. He's got a case here.
It's going to be interesting, but if you remember how long it took him to even get those tapes and the fight that came through, and I think part of the deal was that these tapes could never be made public. So I think he's really running uphill here on something like that. I mean, they should be public as far as I'm concerned. And like I said before, they're not even carrying her case as a homicide. This is carrying as an accidental death, as a drowning. So I don't understand why that is, been held back for so long. And dealing with this because, you know, we're not dealing with a murder where you'd be giving up all kinds of information. Unless there's a lot more to this story, Jay, that you and I are not privy to. And we've said this before, that 911 tape could be a key on what officer or officers showed up, anybody else that was at the scene. Why wasn't certain things done, like the video surveillance taken at the booth? And there's so many things, there's questions that could be answered from those tapes. It would be interesting to see if she even named names or anything else that was on there. It's going to be a fight.
And Joe, the only thing you can ascertain out of this is, you know, the complete botch job by the police department way back, you know. I mean, if you saw the movie, that was a pretty good depiction as far as what was going on here with Richard Dormer and everybody. You know, it's just, it's been a tough road. Anytime you have this tug of war for 10 years, you know that something is not right. Ray himself has said that the tapes will be very disturbing to the public if and when the court allows him to release these things. So you can only figure that there's something on there that the police department just does not want to be heard, you know, and that's all you could figure out. You know, it's just one of those deals. It's logic, common sense, folks. If there was nothing hurtful to the department, you know what? Hear the tapes. Go ahead. Have a field day. But obviously, it's been tied up in the courts and everything else. They don't want it to be heard. And that's why you have this going on, Joe.
No, absolutely. And from one of the things I read in one of the articles, that New York state law actually prohibits the release of 911 calls. So it's going to be interesting to see how this court battle works out next, and I'm sure everybody's lining up to try to see what happens. I mean, we even Hackett's attorney, Peter Hackett's attorney, has already said that he was beating a dead horse and everything else that goes along with it. So we're starting to see some of the same characters now coming out of the woodworks, and it's going to be interesting to see how this story gets revived. It does get revived, and basically it's been John Ray at the forefront getting the story back out in the news. You know, people say always sensationalism and everything. Well, okay, fine. But he seems to be the only one that's beating the drum to try to keep this case in front of the media and keep it out there, because it's still one of the largest, or maybe the largest, unsolved murder cases in New York state history. So it is very important.
And it's one of the leaders of the country as well. You know, that's really what it is. I mean, listen, it was Shannon who ran from Hackett's house, remember, to make that phone call. So you're right. I mean, Ray's, and you look at what has been going on with this case. You know, every couple of months, you know, you get some sort of breaking news regarding a piece of evidence. Thus, that belt that was found there in the wooded area, you know, the WHHM, whatever the heck it was. You know, it's just been like molasses trying to get any type of information. And I tell you, if it wasn't for John Ray, I don't know where this thing would be nowhere. I mean, this thing would be nowhere. So we'll see what happens here. He keeps putting pressure on it, and John's not going to let up. We know him well. All right, Joe, let's move over to this Maryland man arrested connection to a 2016 gang murder of an 18-year-old, a Greenlawn teen. He was in Maryland. This body was found in a Little League park in Huntington going back to August of 2016. Good job again by the Enforcement Bureau, the DA, Tim Sini, right on this thing. This is a guy who confessed to police on camera to the murder, by the way. They got him in Maryland and being extradited back here to the island.
Yeah, no, it's been one of those things where the law enforcement agencies that have been working against MS-13 have been unwavering. And here we go again. Every now and then they pull another rabbit out of the hat. I think this is two of the three individuals that they wanted to that's wanted in connection to this homicide. So it just goes to show you that they haven't forgotten about any of these cases, and they haven't stopped just because they had one arrest. They keep on going. So it's a good message, too, to send out to these gang members that law enforcement isn't going to stop, and they're going to keep on going after them. It's just, we're just at a point where we don't know still about what's the actual head count left of MS-13 on Long Island, how many gang members are actually out there, and how much they've still infiltrated some of the neighborhoods like Brentwood and all the other locations that we've seen now. And unfortunately, there's been pockets of MS-13 gang activity throughout the whole country. So it's going to be interesting to see how much they have to go before they can actually get this gang under control.
Now, we shall see. Joe Jacklow, the crime report. Joe, I guess, you know, a troubling story during the week where you have evidence indicating this unequal enforcement of traffic laws by the Suffolk Police Department, deemed unacceptable. County executive chiming in the other day. And, you know, this was an analysis, Newsday, never publicized racial and ethnic data drawn from more than 230,000 traffic stops. And it revealed officers pulled over black drivers almost four times more than white drivers, and Hispanic drivers twice as often when matched against the size of the driving age population in the area being patrolled there. That's a tough story. And listen, the Suffolk County Police Department is lauded for the work they do and everything else. And listen, I'll be the first to say they've done a really good job here. But this is troubling when you read this with all the unrest, the racial injustice and everything else. You know, you just wonder what in the heck's going on here.
Well, it's definitely troubling, and it's definitely something worth looking into. But we also have to look at things into perspective, too. So, for instance, where was this enforcement? Where were these locations? I mean, is it just it was all on the LIE and that kind of stuff? I mean, was it in, let's say, when they were flooding areas like in Brentwood and other things when MS-13 was going on? There was a lot of police activity then. How many of those numbers come out of there too? So we have to look at it because we want to make sure that there isn't something going on. But we also have to be objective, Ray. There could be sometimes an answer for a reason why we've seen spikes in certain things. So unless we saw the whole data and where the locations were happening and the time frames they were happening, then we can make a better decision. But just to throw a raw number out there, it's a feeding frenzy for activists and the like. But you have to really get down granular and look at the data and see what's happening. Same thing happened in New York City with Stop Questioning Chris. I mean, they were looking into places like, let's say, Brownsville, when they were saying that it was every stop was basically, racism kind of thing. But, you know, you're dealing with a precinct that is predominantly black. And if, you know, I worked in the precinct and I'm white, and if I stopped anybody, that means it would be, it would go against the NYPD as a check mark saying, well, listen, white cop stopped black person, so there you go. They see there's evidence of racism. That's nonsense. So we need to look at the data in respect of how it's broken down, and then we can make a better decision. But listen, we need to look at it too to make sure that there isn't something going on.
100%. We got, it's like we go over these stories. We got to know the backstory. You know, when you hear the national type stories and everything else, you know, there's always a backstory. Well, let's find out location. You're right. Let's not jump to conclusions completely. It doesn't look good now as far as what we're seeing here. But what were factors in those individuals being pulled over? Was there kind of an abuse of power? There's always backstories. You're right. There has to be more to it. We got to figure it out. So we'll wait and see. But right now, obviously, it doesn't look good. But with that being said, let's find out a little more information. Location, very important stuff. So we'll wait and see. Here's a tough story midweek. Joe, you had a guy from Brooklyn. He was shot and killed by Suffolk police. Happened in Coram. After this guy pursued the cop for about 500 feet, despite being hit with a taser, this Paul Sulkowski charged the cop, and within 3 feet of him when the officer opened fire there. So this guy was out of his mind. This was an individual in which the police have kind of known about. I guess they went to the location prior, some incidents there, but that was a tough case, and police got him. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the kind of thing where you look at it and say, well, the officer hesitated really way too long. It has all these activism kind of thing made the officers fearful to do the, to use their firearm when they should have. I mean, everything else has failed at this, and to be within 3 feet of somebody, which is actually even shorter than the average. The average gunfight happens between 5 and 7 feet nationwide. So this person was really close in on him and could have, done some damage. So we need to tone down the rhetoric on a lot of different things. And not every police-involved shooting is unjustified, right? There's no such thing as a good police shooting. It's either justified or not. And when you're looking at these things, you have to be objective. Unfortunately, Jay, everybody, especially on social media, objectiveness has gone out the window. Everybody's guilty of something before, proven innocent. It's absolutely insane about what you see and hear every day. Social media is just a cesspool, and it's just unbelievable. Like, I mean, I don't even want to look at it today after the debate. I just don't even want to look at it.
Listen, again, backstory. Listen, when a cop tells you to stop, you stop. This is a guy who had a weapon on him, a knife. The officer told him to drop that knife. He did not. He continued to pursue, and that's when shots fired, and that's what happened here. So, again, you jump to a conclusion and everything else. Know the entire story with this Paul Sulkowski. He was told to drop his weapon, and he didn't. What are you supposed to do here? As a trained police officer, you do what you have to do to save your life. That's what you do here, because you're in harm's way yourself. So there's always backstory. Here's another big one during the week, and a good job by federal authorities. NYPD, Joe, as well. They broke up a smuggling ring. They used this Aeroflot Airlines employees based in the United States to smuggle 50 million, millions and millions of dollars worth of electronic goods into Russia. Crazy case. You talk about, illegal goods across borders and everything else. Good job by authorities here.
You take a look at it. Compared to how they have to deal with things that are going on in the background, the politics and everything like that, there's law enforcement still building cases, doing, great work and being able to pull off a massive case like this. But think about the consequences of a case like this, where electronics and stuff are going to places like Russia. They could be going to China, Middle East, all these things. So we have people within our own country that are selling, basically goods that could be used against us in the long run. So this is a very disturbing story, and unfortunately it hasn't gotten the kind of media pressure, points that should have been out there. This should have been a huge story.
You get a lot of play. In fact, you look at Aeroflot Airlines, what in the heck is that? But, listen, this was a big one here. You have, the goods being smuggled through these borders, that's a tough one there. It didn't get a lot of play. 10 people, including one based in Moscow, 9, by the way, currently living in Brooklyn, charged, Joe, with the transportation of stolen property. So, this was a big one here, but they did the job, wiretaps and everything else. And, you're talking about these defendants discussing having made tens of thousands of dollars to as much as nearly $8 million in profit in a single day. In a single day. Unbelievable of smuggling here. Didn't get a lot of play. You're right.
Yep.
A very tough story, though. But a good job by the authorities. Sir, some of the big stories of the week. We will follow your path throughout. And listen, tough to say to have a restful weekend. I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
Just be as restful as you can. And hopefully you'll have some relief next week, my friend.
I hear you. Hopefully. We'll keep you updated. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Jacklin, okay. The Crime Report, the great Sarge, brought to you by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477, all calls to be made confidential.